Next case is Think Products v. ACCO Brands, 2017-13-60 and 61. Mr. Schindler.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Edwin Schindler. I'm with my co-counsel, John Badolfi. We represent the appellant Think Products in a consolidated appeal from two IPRs, Court of Appeals. Think Products patents concern a locking device for a portable electronic device, a locking mechanism for a portable electronic device such as a laptop. The two issues in this case that have to be decided on appeal, both are important, both affect potentially a reexamination and other patents. One issue is an anticipation invalidation based upon what's called the click-save video. The parties agree that the click-save video reads on the claims of Think Products patents but dispute the effective filing date. And it's Think Products' position that the effective filing date is prior to the publication date of the click-save video. The second issue is a statutory obvious rejection, McDade and Chen. And I'd like to address that one first. I think it's rather clear-cut. The obvious rejection was applied as McDade in view of Chen. The parties agree that McDade discloses most of the limitations of Think Products' patent claims, but does not disclose the particular locking mechanism. Chen was secondarily applied in support of a locking mechanism that was not disclosed in McDade. Chen discloses a bicycle lock.
But the board found that, ClickSafe was an anticipation and that you don't get the benefit of the 520 date.
That's correct. That's as the anticipation
rejection.
Why is
that wrong? The court pointed out a couple of features that pages 20, 21 of its opinion where it determines that these features were not in the 520 patent.
Okay, the feature of going back to the click-save video concerns the issue of whether or not the term captive security rod is construed. That's a disputed claim term, and the question is whether that term has support in Think Products-related applications going back to May of 08, which predates the publication date of the click-save video. The board... It made an error by looking at a specific embodiment, particularly I think it was figure 30, and incorporated that embodiment into Think Products patent claims. Instead of starting out with the claim language that defines the invention and then giving the claim language the broadest reasonable interpretation. If you look at the claim language for example, claim 1 of the 758 patent, it defines in the body of the claim, it defines a captive security rod as having a locking end and an anchoring end. Now, it's our position that that's the structural limitation of what a captive security rod is. It's a rod for a locking mechanism that has a locking end and an anchoring end. After that, for example, in claim 1, you then have what we consider to be a functional recitation. Now, functional recitation is that the locking rod is to have an anchoring end that's passed through the housing to anchor the captive security rod there too. We believe the board erred by deviating from the claim language, and instead of talking about to anchor to the housing, the captive security rod, the board said that the captive security rod has to be anchored to or is anchored to the housing. By doing that, the board took the remainder of that wearing clause, which is the functional recitation in the apparatus claim, and basically broadened the structural limitation to such an extent that now the claim, so that any captive security rod or any rod with a locking end and an anchoring end had to be anchored to the housing or is anchored to the housing. And we believe that ACCO Brands, in their brief, pretty much used the terms interchangeably. They said that the captive security rod is anchored to the housing or anchored to the housing. We believe this is a critical distinction because the board deviated from the claim language, which defines the scope of the invention. And the invention
even if you're right on predating or getting predating ClickSafe, why don't McDade and Chen render obvious the claims?
Okay. The parties agree that McDade has all the limitations except for the actual locking mechanism, which is a two-step locking mechanism. Chen, secondarily applied, is a bicycle lock that wraps around the article being protected and then snaps in. Now, once it snaps in, Chen teaches that the lock should be freely rotatable at the point of locking. McDade, the board framed the issue regarding McDade, and we agree with the board's clarification of the issue. On page 28 of the 758 decision, the board said that the parties dispute whether McDade's locking head 104 permits rotation relative to the anchor 20 upon activation of the lock. Okay, anchor 20, the parties agree, in McDade is analogous to the captive security rod in Think Products patent claims. The board focused on whether or not the external skirt 64 in McDade had peaks or valleys or was smooth, whether it was the embodiment of figure 4 or figure 2. The problem is that locking does not take place at the external skirt. It, in fact, takes place at the annular groove, which is the locking surface, reference point 62. So the locking, the external skirt is only relevant to a pre-locking mating step where the locking head 104 comes together with the external skirt of the anchor.
Did you argue the mating point below?
We argued that there was two separate steps and that the key had to be turned and activated. We also argued whether or not figure 2 and figure 4 mattered to whether or not there was rotation or not. So, and we also argued that there was a locking step that had to take place, and further upon turning the key to activate the lock, that causes three ball bearings to come together on a locking surface. So that was argued. And once upon the locking surface, there was no rotation possible. In fact, we even discussed that. Our expert, Robert Mahaffey, discussed that in his written testimony of January 15, 2016.
So the board made an inference here that one of the two configurations, it'll rotate, and the other one, it won't rotate.
That's correct.
Right?
And the board was correct as to the law, but it was incorrect as to the fact that the locking did not take place at the external skirt, but was only taking place at the annular groove 62. And this was discussed by Mr. Mahaffey, a Think Products expert, in his written testimony of January of last year. So it's not a new argument. So in effect, whether or not there are peaks of valleys or it's smooth, or it's only relevant pre-locking. Again, the locking only occurs upon turning the key and when the ball bearings come together in figure 9. And that the evidence is that at that point there is no rotation possible, and it doesn't matter whether or not there's peaks or valleys or smooth.
Getting back to the claim construction.
Yes.
Where you were saying you're not happy with the construction wherein the rod-shaped portion is anchored to a portable electronic device. Why wouldn't it be okay to construe it instead as wherein the rod-shaped portion is suitable for anchoring to a portable electronic device?
Well, suitable for
maybe
anchoring.
Maybe that's what the board was really getting at.
Well, the board may have used the terms interchangeably, but it turns out that the claim itself talks about a wearing, and there is a functional recitation following the structural limitation. And if you talk about anchor two or is suitable for anchoring two, the suitable for anchoring two is probably another way of putting the functional recitation. Two anchor is a functional recitation that we actually have in the claim that's controlling. I think a lot of the confusion below was determining whether or not it is anchored or anchored two. We have various embodiments of a captive security rod besides what we are contending is the ferrule 286 that is shown in 28C and D, figures 28C and D. But the question, I guess, is that the board took the structure, defined the captive security rod structurally to include not just the fact that it's a rod for a locking mechanism with an anchoring end and a locking end, but then went ahead and said it had to also be attached to the housing, which incidentally would cause the portable electronic device, which is the housing we're talking about, to actually be part of the claim language.
That's why I'm saying maybe what they were trying to get at is that the anchoring end is suitable for anchoring to the computer.
The claims language controls, and that says two anchors. So maybe it's suitable, and maybe that's not necessarily a difference. But I believe the board argued, and I know that my opposing counsel argued, I think it was on page 27 of their opposition brief, that they use the term is anchored, to anchored, and anchored to as interchangeable. And in fact, the context of, or grammar of the claim changes the term as to whether or not that's a structural limitation that's defining what a captive security rod is, or whether the captive security rod is structurally just this rod, a locking rod, that has an anchoring end and must then be used.
Yeah. The wherein clause has to mean something. There's a lot of words after the wherein.
That's correct.
Should we ignore them?
No. Okay. It's a functional recitation, and we discussed this in the our brief opening brief, pages 42 and 43. That in fact the functionality is met by the ferrule, which is a rod that has a locking end and an anchoring end, and that the ferrule 286.
Before you get into your ferrule, what is your proposed construction of the wherein clause?
Okay. The proposed construction is that the rod itself has to have both ends, and then the rod is then inserted into a housing, and it has to be at least partially in and partially out of the housing before the lock is applied or used to secure the portable electronic device. Okay, for example, it says the anchoring end of the captive security rod is passed through the at least one housing. In figures 28C and D, you can see ferrule 286 is passed through the housing 515 of the portable electronic device. The portable electronic device, the housing is 516, the hole is 517. Now the end
I'm just looking at the claim language. The anchoring end anchors the rod to the housing. I mean, that seems to be the.
Okay. Well, the anchoring end is the part closer to the interface of the cable in 28C and D, and that goes into the housing, and the locking end comes out, and ultimately is attached. The pin lock gets attached as shown in 28C and D. The anchoring end remains in the housing. It's not shown as falling out of the housing or coming loose or just going through the housing, but it's at least partially passed into the housing, and it's shown as being retained in the housing.
Mr. Schindler, you wanted to save some rebuttal time.
Yes, into it. Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Okay, you can continue. We'll save it for you.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Wiener.
Thanks. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The Board correctly determined that all challenge claims are unpatentable based on two different grounds for each claim. The first issue raised by Think Products claim construction was
waived. The 102 doesn't reach all the claims, but the 103 reaches all the claims. Is that right?
102 is for most claims in the ClickSafe prior art.
Right.
There is one claim of each patent that's a 103 based on ClickSafe in combination with McDade, but Think Products doesn't dispute that combination. What they dispute is that Think Products is prior art.
I guess, does McDade-Chen, that combination, cover all of the claims?
Yes, McDade-Chen covers all the claims.
Okay.
So those are alternative grounds that the Board considered, and those are completely separate from the claim construction issues and from the priority benefit issues. So each claim was canceled for two separate reasons. So it's a little bit unclear to me if Think Products is still challenging claim construction at the hearing now. I know they've talked about construction of other terms that were never, their construction was never disputed before the Board, but construction of the term collective security rod, that was waived two times before the Board, and they raised a new construction on appeal. The other two issues that are raised, priority benefit and motivation to combine, obviousness, those are both factual issues, and the Board's findings on both of those issues were supported by substantial evidence. Now, if the court does consider the merits of claim construction on appeal, despite the waiver, it should determine that the Board correctly construed that term. And that was the only term whose construction was in dispute. There was no dispute about construction of a wherein clause or any other language of the claims. There were some other terms that we proposed for construction in our petition, and those constructions were undisputed. The only dispute of construction was the term kept a security rod. The Board's construction of that term properly gives weight to claim language that states that the anchoring end of the captive security rod is passed through the housing to anchor the captive security rod thereto. and overciting a step of securely installing the anchoring end of the security router spike to the portable electronic device in the housing. And based on the claim language itself, the construction should be upheld by the court. The second issue is priority benefit. It relates to claim construction in the sense that Think Products relied on an alleged error in claim construction to dispute the board's decision. However, the decision is really separate in that the board found that there was no support in the priority documents for the claimed invention, and therefore the ClickSafe video comes in as prior art. There are other terms in the claims construction was in dispute, such as the captive security rod has a locking end and an anchoring end, and other terms that the board found were not satisfied by the Farrell embodiment. And the parties agree that if the board's decision on priority benefit is upheld, then all of the challenge claims are unpatentable over ClickSafe. On the priority benefit issue, the board correctly determined that figures 28C and D do not depict a captive security rod as recited in the claims with the other limitations of the claim, not relying on just those words themselves. The Farrell embodiment is not within the scope of the claims. Farrell embodiment discloses a ferrule that's passed through the housing of a portable electronic device and locked to a lock, which is behind the housing. The ferrule does not include a locking end and an anchoring end, as the claims require. I think Products Council stated that it does include both ends, but it does not have those two ends. Instead, the ferrule includes one end that's inserted in a lock and another end that's attached to a cable. And it has no end anchored in the housing as required by the claims. Because the board correctly decided the priority benefit issue, the board also correctly determined that the challenge claims are unpatentable over the ClickSafe video.
Are these patents expired?
No, they're not.
No.
Patents are not expired, and Think Products has a continuation patent that's issued, and there's continuation. So as Think Products Council indicated, the issues in this decided in this case may affect other related patents as well.
They go back to 05. Not 95, actually. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't recall in the earliest.
Sorry about that.
They haven't expired
right
yet.
So there's a continuation case going on right now where the McDade-Chen combination is being applied. Is that right?
I believe that's what's being applied. There's a continuation that the claims have been rejected. There's also a supplemental examination, re-examination case that has claims that are under rejection. And there's also another issued patent that's a continuation that's out there. So those cases potentially could be affected, or what happens in this case may affect Think Products' interest in pursuing those for further infringement action. So other cases may be affected. Turning to the obviousness based on the combination of McDade and Chen, for those references, the parties agree that they're both prior art and that they disclose all the limitations of the claims. Think Products disputes only the finding that there was a motivation to combine the references. But the board correctly found that a person of ordinary skill would have a reason to substitute the automatic lock mechanism of Chen for the key-operated mechanism in McDade's locking assembly. Think Products argues that there's a teaching away from the combination because McDade supposedly teaches that there cannot be any rotation between the lock head and the anchor or captive security rod. Now, McDade does mention rotation, but the board correctly found that McDade discloses two embodiments, only one of which prevents rotation. McDade expressly refers to one configuration that has rounded mating surfaces between the lock head and the captive security rod that's shown in Figure 2, and that configuration permits rotation. McDade also refers to what it refers to as the other configuration that's shown in Figures 1, 4, and 8, and it has a peaks and valleys mating configuration, which McDade expressly states and implied that one prevents rotation. The board therefore correctly found that McDade does not prohibit rotation in all embodiments, and there's no teaching away. The board also correctly found that Chen contains an express motivation to combine its disclosure with that of McDade. It expressly suggests substituting an axial lock arrangement for a radial lock and says that would be an improvement. And before the board, that was a distinction that Think Products argued that it would be incompatible. But Chen teaches the opposite. And for these reasons, the board correctly determined that the challenge claims are unpatentable over McDade and Chen. On appeal, Think Products argues that McDade may prevent rotation, permit rotation in a pre-locking step, but after locking prevents rotation in all embodiments. It's an interesting argument, but McDade says nothing about that. Mr. Mahaffey's testimony that Think Products Council referred to does not make any such distinction. Mr. Mahaffey completely ignored the fact that McDade expressly discloses two embodiments or configuration, only one of which prohibits rotation. So that is a new argument on appeal, and there's no support for it. Another issue on the McDade combination is that Think Products has not addressed the issue that we raised before the board, that McDade discloses two embodiments, one of which prevents rotation. If a person of ordinary skill were concerned about rotation, they could simply use that Peaks and Valleys embodiment and prevent rotation. There's no reason why that would be incompatible with Chen's locking mechanism, and Think Products Council has not addressed that issue at all. I also want to briefly address the claim construction issues. I'm not sure if your discussions with Council for Think Products related to claim construction or priority benefit. They discussed these other terms and argued which ones were given weight. None of those terms were addressed before the board. They just talked about captive security rod, but the other claim language must be given weight, and the claims all expressly recite a number of limitations, not just the term captive security rod. They all say that the captive security rod has a locking end and an anchoring end. So even if you were to agree with Think Products' argument on claim construction, there's other language in the claims that further refine the captive security rod and identify its other features. All the claims say that the anchoring end is anchored to the housing. It doesn't say it's passed through the housing. I mean, some of the claims may say it's passed through the housing, but it's anchored to the housing. And then the locking end is received in the locking device. None of the embodiments of the specification describe all those features. The Farrell embodiment has a locking end that's inserted in the lock, but it doesn't have an anchoring end that's anchored in the housing. There's other embodiments that were referred to below that may have the opposite, that has an anchoring end in the housing, but it doesn't have a locking end that's inserted in the lock. And for those reasons, the board properly determined that there was no support in the priority documents. And finally, I wanted to mention, Judge Chen, you asked about the where-in clause. That issue was simply not raised before the board. I don't think that term needs to be construed. I think the words of that term just need to be given their ordinary meaning and applied, and the board did that. Neither party requested the board to construe those other terms, and I don't think that was necessary. However, if the court determines that further explanation is needed for the meaning of the other terms of the claim, I don't think they would affect the board's correct decision on priority benefit.
Anything further, Mr. Wiener?
No, if the court has any other questions, I'd be happy to respond, but otherwise I can waive my remaining time.
No one ever loses points by not using up all their time.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Schindler has a little time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of points. First of all, the functionality argument was raised below before the board. It was raised, of course, during oral argument in briefs. It was referred to as being raised prior in other papers. Furthermore, the claim construction that Acrobrands, Think Products claim construction as characterized by Acrobrands on page 14 of its brief, talks about a structural limitation and then goes into saying so that, and then goes on to talk about the function of the captive security rod. On page 14, they actually say that, without reading the whole thing, it talks about the proper construction of a captive security rod that includes the spike or ferrule, and then it goes on to say so that upon insertion through a hole of the locking mechanism. So it does have a functional recitation, and even Acrobrands agrees that there's a functional component to what a captive security rod is. I'd also like to say
the McDade Chen combination you were saying in your brief that it has an impact in other cases?
Yes, it does. We have a reexamination that's pending in which that same issue has been raised. And so we also have one continuation pending It has not been raised in the continuation. It has been raised in the re-exam, and we advised the court, in fact, on November 15th, that that decision can affect the re-examination. I also like to point that, I'd like to point out in my remaining time, unless there's another question about that, the PTAB agreed that if, in fact, there was no rotation in any of the embodiments of McDade upon activation of the lock, that the two references, McDade and Chen, did teach away. The mistake that the board made, and for which the substantial evidence...
What page did the board say that at?
The board said, first of all, on page 28, 28 of the 758 decision, they characterized the issue to be decided as to whether or not there's rotation of the locking head relative to the anchor. If you look, I think, towards...
So where did it say if... You know, if McDade doesn't teach the embodiment where it rotates, then therefore they teach away from each other. Yeah, where did it say that?
The board rejected our argument following, I think it was towards the very end, where it talked about that the lack
what
of...
page?
Pages, looks like page 29, 30, and 31.
The whole thing?
Page 31 of the decision, where it says, we have determined, however, as discussed above, that McDade teaches two configurations, only one of which prevents rotation of a locking head, and that is established that the prior art's disclosure of simply something that's less preferred, as opposed to something that cannot be done, does not teach away. So if rotation was less preferred, we all agree that it would not teach away. But the board, at least by that statement of page 31 of the 758 decision, at least inferred that if there is no disclosure, if there's no rotation after locking, that it would teach away. Otherwise, that entire argument would seem to be unnecessary. The board could simply have said it doesn't matter. The board ruled against Bing Pikes below because they ruled that the smooth embodiment of figure 2 was less preferred, but being less preferred does not teach away, at least implicitly.
Thank you, Mr. Schindler. I think your time has expired.
You're welcome, Your Honor. Thank you.
We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you.